All right. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit has shown me this week has been he's shown me so many things, but it's been incredible levels of understanding how he operates or functions and who he is. There's been a lot of controversy about, you don't glorify the Holy Spirit or our communion. I've had a lot of people saying, our communion is with Jesus and the Father. But then people have to realize, well, how do we have communion with Jesus and the Father? It's only through the Holy Spirit. And there seems to be a real fear about getting close to the Holy Spirit in some of the body of Christ, and a misunderstanding of who he really is and what he's meant to do. And if he's the teacher, the spirit of truth, the comforter, the counselor, well, we're going to have to commune with him in order for him to do that. And he showed me something this morning that was a little bit scary, but absolutely true. And what it was is that when people are either minimizing the Holy Spirit, shoving him to the side, or attributing it to him qualities or purposes that are not his, they are dealing with very dangerous territory. And I know there's also controversy about, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that if we're forgiven if we say anything against the Son of Man, but Jesus said anyone who says anything against blasphemes the Holy Spirit is not forgiven in this age or the age to come. And I know there's been some teachings that says that that's not true anymore, but it says the age to come. We're the age to come. Every age after Jesus is the age to come. And Holy Spirit's been showing me about that, not to frighten people or make anyone run from grace and go, oh, grace isn't real. No, grace is absolutely real. Grace is totally unconditional. However, we need to be wise in how we engage with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like Holy Spirit, he's the power of the universe, and he lives in us. And you're like, it's nuclear power. You don't mess around with nuclear power, do you? You don't play games with it and go, oh, well, let's see how this works, and it's not expect to get injured. He showed me today, because it's the Father's heart, he showed me today that when people are misconstruing the Holy Spirit and then teaching about that, they are really treading on very, very dangerous territory. And I started to cry for them. Because it isn't something we fool around with. We have to have knowing God in an intimate way does not mean we're so chummy that we don't have reverence. And there's got to be, reverence is a part of that. We should be in awe that he lives in us, that he's chosen to live in us, and we can commune with him anytime, and we can feel the closeness and the love of the Father at any time. We can feel the presence of his spirit anytime. We can know we're completely forgiven any time. That should make us in awe on our knees, not to be taken for granted. It's almost like this is why some people are so anti-grace, because people then take grace to this other level, which isn't grace at all, which is almost playing with God in a it would be like having a toddler in a room who found yellow cake uranium and thought it was a toy. You just don't, you have to have that reverence as well. And I think that's what's, people are having this fluffy grace. And someone said to me the other day, and I mean, I'm sorry, personally, it made me sick in my stomach and I wanted to take Ipecac, They were talking about yummy time, with God. And it just didn't sit right in my spirit. I thought, you're making him like candy. God is not candy. He's the power of all powers that creates everything and that can just as easily destroy everything. But because of his grace, he gave us Jesus so that wouldn't happen to us. So, do you know what I'm saying? It's a bit of a, I feel like Holy Spirit, he showed me a side of himself this week that I never knew. Normally, I just feel his presence and his joy and his peace, and I'm just infused with him. And then he shows me his power when I'm ministering to people, and he just pours out prophecy or healing or whatever it is that they need. this week he showed me another aspect of himself. And I've only had it once before, but this week he reminded me of it when he wanted me to write that, write, you know, a description of who he was. And he gave me verbatim what I was supposed to say. And I wrote it down. And then I had a little bit of a controversy with him. And I said, you know what? I think this one should go above this one. You know, there were bullet points. Oh, I like this better. And he said very firmly, leave it in the order I gave you. And it was a bit of a firm little smack, you know, like, don't touch it. And I went, oh, okay. And obviously I typed it up that way. And when I reread it, it was exactly as it needed to be. I mean, no kidding. Of course, Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. So that was my first little entrance. And that was probably about 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago. Then just yesterday and today, he's been showing me that firmness in his character, Holy Spirit himself, because Holy Spirit has a will. Holy Spirit is power. Holy Spirit, you know, demonstrates the power of God. So it isn't something we're, you know, cutesy. Some people are going too far. And I feel like he's warning us, like, don't go there. Those are the rocks over there. Yes, it's a beautiful lake. Yes, enjoy being in the boat. Yes, enjoy rowing here and rowing there. And it's glorious. And I lift you up and keep you above, you know, above the water level. You know, you're not going to drown. But don't go over there because there's the rocks and the inflatable boat will not hold you there. You will drown. And today, I believe he wants, there's a variety of things, but one of the things he's speaking to my heart very strongly is that don't play at Holy Ghost. Don't play like this is a game. Don't play like, oh, isn't this cute? We've got this power. Oh, isn't it cute? We can hang out with him. It's so sweet. You know, almost sugar-coated. That's not communing with him. That's turning him into something he is not. In our perception, he doesn't change, obviously. But how we relate to him is what is varied. And I just so strongly want to, it's like I feel he's admonishing the body. And, you know, somebody asked me this week, what does it mean to be chastised, you know, by the Father? What's his discipline? And because they had a father that was abusive physically, they expected that from God the Father in heaven. And I made it very clear, God is not going to beat you up. He beat up Jesus. You don't need to be beaten. That was the scourging went on the Son so that we could become sons. So it's not like that, but that does not mean he doesn't chasten us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing to us, how do we walk properly, righteously, holy, and fully in with him? Not as, we don't want to go back to the law, which says, you know, you better be careful and watch your P's and Q's and, and watch your back and make sure you're doing everything right. Otherwise, you know, zap, there goes the lightning. We don't want that anymore. That's nonsense. Because of Jesus. We're past that. However, while we are learning to be with him, we need to take in, yes, exactly, Ronnie, holy. Holiness is something I think he wants to share and teach us. I mean, obviously he does. Because holiness is what God emanates all the time. And without holiness, what does he say? What does he say about holiness? His amazing scriptures on holiness. One of the things he talks about is, be holy as I am holy. And I have seen that as meaning, well, we come in through Jesus, so we become holy. He says we're the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So it's not like we earn holiness. We don't get to earn it. We can't earn it. But we walk in it. And how do we do that? And that isn't being legalistic. It's not, oh, if I do this, I'm not holy. And if I do that, no. We're covered by the blood. We always come from past the cross. But I really think he's saying, yes, abiding in the holiness, so that it becomes us. We then walk as holiness in the world, in our lives, with each other. Holiness just becomes a natural expression of God in us. And I think this, I believe today, he's just impressing this on me so much, is a serious lesson, because we can't go we can't go so far that we make Holy Spirit like cotton candy, because he is substance and strength and power and life itself. It is through him that people get healed. It is through him that they're raised from the dead. He said the same Spirit that lives in us is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. That's who he is. Now, I think the church has actually turned its back on Holy Spirit completely and said we don't want anything to do with him because, you know, of a lot of shenanigans and circus acts that some of the church has said this is Holy Spirit. So they've just gone away. Or there's the other aspect of we're just going to be the Word. We're going to go into the Word. And so they've turned away from him as if the Holy Spirit is the living Word in us. So they're all connected. What's happened in the church is they cut God into three parts, and they've made those three parts separate, and he said the three are one. So when we're praising the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are completely touched as well. When we're speaking about Holy Spirit and the amazing things that we see him do through us as we touch people, as we pray, as we prophesy, Jesus and the Father are totally delighted. There is no disconnection. There's no competition. We try to understand God in human terms, and then we separate. That's why we don't understand that we're a body. We are one. We look at ourselves as separate. He says we're many members of one body. We are one body. We're one in the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We're one mind. But we don't live like that. And I think that's part of holiness as well. You know, that wholeness of God, but that also that holiness of God, living righteously. And I just, you know, it makes me sad in a way that the Holy Spirit has to talk to us about this. But he's making it very clear to me. And I mean, this is personal as well. This isn't me talking to the church and I'm going to tell the church off, you know, thus saith the Lord. It's nothing like that. It's simply, I asked him yesterday, I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me how to be with you. You teach me. How do you want me to speak of you? How do you want me to declare things about you? You tell me. Because I don't want to do it off my own back. And I don't want to mislead people. He's made it very, very, very clear. I mean, he says it in James 3. He says, not many of you be teachers, because you will have a stricter judgment. And he showed me that scripture yesterday, and he made it very clear to me. Jesse, you must watch your mouth. If you are going to teach, and it's not because I chose to teach. He appoints ministers. He appoints pastors. Mankind wants to do it. And there's so many people, you know, that either decide for themselves or man decides for them that, oh, you're supposed to do this. And it hasn't even been God appointed. So if we are appointed by God in whatever capacity, whether it's a prophet, whether it's a teacher, whether it's an apostle, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's simply as ministers of reconciliation, because every believer has that position, then we must be responsible in how we minister. Now for me, because I'm teaching, because he's told me to do that, he just does it. I didn't ask, and he's doing it, and it's not about, look at me, I'm a teacher. It's terrifying, to be honest with you. He is showing me that, because that rest of that scripture in James 3, first it starts with, you know, not many of you be teachers, then it goes down to the tongue, and it regales how, not regales, it discusses how the tongue is so dangerous. So it's all about words. Mm-hmm. And we have to be so careful. I mean, I know for me, he's telling me, Jesse, don't you just write up anything you want. Because people are taking that as truth. I am noticing people all over online listening to other people and going, oh, okay, that must be the truth. Oh no, look over there. Oh, that's the truth. Oh, they said that. Oh, that was really clever. That's the truth. Because they're not communing with Holy Spirit, finding out what the truth is. So they're taking off what somebody else has said. I even heard somebody say this, and it blew me away. I was devastated. They said, oh, I'm listening to so-and-so's teaching because, you know, they did all this work for 30 years, and that way I don't have to. What? And that's what they're being told. Oh, you don't have to do it because I did it for you. There are no shortcuts in your walk with God. It's a personal relationship, and you're going to walk completely differently in terms of the personal nature and the individual nature of your walk than anyone else on the planet. There is no shortcut to that because no one else can walk it for you. So we can't be spiritually lazy. I think Holy Spirit is saying, stop being spiritually lazy. Stop listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that says a cute little blip on a screen. You know, it's like the 30-second soundbite. Oh, that was good. And that's how people get elected to office, because they're better on the 30-second soundbite than, you know, some man who's from, you know, World War II. And he doesn't know how to interact in modern media. But that doesn't mean he's not the one who should be put in office. He just might not be as, media savvy or high-tech savvy. And we've got to make sure we're not doing that with Holy Ghost, because we're online and we do a lot of work online, and we are communicating as a body online. It's very easy to just type a few lines, isn't it? And go, yes, ha ha, that's my opinion, but I did it with such authority, they're all going to believe it. Got to be so careful. He's admonished me, and I'm taking it to heart, because I do not want to hurt my daddy. I can feel it now, tears welling up. I do not want to disgrace the Holy Spirit. I will never do that intentionally. And if I've done it, forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I know I'm forgiven because of the cross. It's not like I'm living in fear. Oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? It's never like that. It's a relationship. And just like with an earthly father that you respect, you don't want to dishonor him. And that's what this is. We need to... And it's even greater than that, in the sense of we are touching people's lives, and their lives can be either harmed or helped by what we say. That's how dangerous the tongue is. It can, like he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and it's set on fire by hell. I mean, that's pretty scary. That's in my mouth. I better be absolutely sure that I've given that tongue to God Almighty through the Holy Ghost, and not just speaking whatever it is I feel like. So this is a sober word, but he's telling me this word, and we need to take it to heart, not from the standpoint of judgment. Jesus took that judgment. So people get that confused, and then they think, oh, now I've got to watch myself and it's legalism again. No, not at all. It's the fluidity of a relationship with the living God that's telling me right now, Jesse, I want you to look at the steps I've ordered for you, and I want you to walk in those. Not in what so-and-so is doing, not in what this one's doing, not in what that one's doing, what I am doing. And that's for all of us. That isn't just for me, obviously. That's for the entire body. So, yes, exactly. I mean, we have to have some, and I know there's, Ronnie, you're talking about that scripture about, what was it, Ananias and Sapphira. And I've heard so many renditions on that. I've heard, no, they weren't believers. They were just sneaking into the church, and therefore, they got zapped. And then other ones will say, will terrify you with it so that you're always watching yourself, you know, the legalism side. They'll go one or the other. Now, I don't believe we'll really understand that story till we get home to heaven. You know, we can analyze it. We can do our little human wisdom on it, but let's get revelation. Let's just ask Holy Spirit, what does it mean? What were you showing to us? Because I think if Jesus warned us, Jesus himself warned us. And I know people will say, well, the context was he was talking to the Jews who were basically mocking him. So yes, we have to consider that. Who he was talking to. But Jesus warned us and said, you can say any nasty thing about me that you want. But if you blaspheme, which is basically to denigrate and defile the Holy Spirit and attribute things to him that are not so, that doesn't get forgiven. I mean, that still knocks my socks off. And I am not saying, this is something I wanted to, and I believe I will post this very soon, perhaps today, I want to put a disclaimer on everything I say. Because until I get home to glory, I'm sorry, I do not know everything. And neither does anyone else on the planet. No matter how learned they are, no matter how much time they've spent even with Holy Spirit, you do not know everything. We will not. We still see through a glass dimly. And we have got to acknowledge that. And not take for granted, oh, I have the mind of Christ so that I know everything. Really? That's interesting. You have the mind of Christ and even Jesus Christ doesn't know when he's coming back. So how can we know everything? You know, we need to actually walk in wisdom and walk in what the gifts that God has given us in humility, not in arrogance. Oh, I've got all this, so I'm cool. I'm good. I've got it all. No, we don't. Because I have seen people change. Everyone is learning. So we will change along the way. So if I'm saying something 6 months ago, I may have another revelation 6 months later. That is going to be, you know, and I would hope it would just be an addition, a deepening of what I saw before, but sometimes it might just vary completely. So with what we speak and what we share with others, then we have to always seek the Holy Spirit so that, for instance, I'll give you an instance, and I was talking to you about it before, Ronnie, that someone was very ill, near death, and recently, and they were in a coma, and someone else was praying, and in their time of praying, they said that person was going to awaken in a certain period of time, and the entire family was there in the hospital, hoping. You know, getting so excited. Oh my goodness, someone's declaring this, saying this is going to happen. That it just lifted their hope and lifted their faith. Well, it didn't happen. And what God was showing me was you do not declare things off your own back. Because the declaration is the proclaiming of the gospel. That's the declaration. And unless Holy Spirit leads you to say something to that person, like, okay, this is what's going to happen, you know, prophetically say, or a word of knowledge. That's why we have those things. We have those gifts so that we can, so he can give us, we have access to what he thinks, what he's saying, what he's telling us is going to happen. So that when we declare something, it's not, oh, I've just made a decision because I'm standing in faith and therefore I'm going to say this. We're not doing it from that place. That's very irresponsible. We're doing it from Holy Spirit. There was another man. It was amazing. He just told me the story yesterday. It was incredible. A woman came to him and she was crying her eyes out, a mother. And she said, my daughter's left home and I don't know what to do. Please pray. Please pray. You know, she's just totally distressed. He prays and she says, no, no, no. Keep praying. Keep praying. He says to her, it is done. She will be home when you go home. He told me the story. I asked him, I said, where did you get that idea that she would be home? Was it from Holy Spirit? And he said, yes. And he said, I was afraid to say it because I thought about my reputation. What if it doesn't happen? But it was Holy Spirit telling me that was what was going to happen. So I declared it in faith. When the mother got home, of course, the daughter was home. She came back to him that evening, smiling from ear to ear, saying, I'm sorry, I doubt it. She was home. Everyone's faith was lifted, including the man who declared it, because it was from Holy Spirit, not from him. So we have to be very, very, very wise and discerning on what we're saying. Are we saying it because we think so and we want it to happen? Or are we saying it because Holy Spirit's saying it? Because there's too many people running around saying, this one's going to live, this one's going to be saved, this one's going to be healed. Because I said so. Because you said so. Isn't it because Jesus Christ and his stripes and his blood and his death and resurrection? Isn't that why? And Holy Spirit is given to us after that. And Holy Spirit tells us what's happening now in that person's life. Or in our own lives, for that matter. So, it's imperative that we speak what he speaks. Like it said, he only did what the Father was doing. And I think that's really gotten a bad rap lately. You know, oh, well, what the Father did is he made sure Jesus destroyed all the works of the devil, so we're just going to go out and do it. You know, willy-nilly. And I'm not saying, compassion is what drove Jesus. Not works, not legalism, not declaration. Compassion, the Father's heart, is what drew him to do what he did. And also drew people to him. Why did they want to be near him? I've had that experience when I've not come from any performance or from any other place about me, when it hasn't been about me, but it's been for them, and people don't want to get away from you. They won't let go of your hands. They want to talk to you more and more. They're not doing the, oh, let me go now, because they can tell the difference between love and compassion and I'm doing this because it makes me look good. And Jesus never did it from there. Ever.
In your heart and your mind, because I really want to know how to discern between my own thoughts and the Holy Spirit.
Brilliant. Do you know how? Get this. This is so amazing. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that. That's all you do. Holy Spirit, teach me how to know when it's you and when it's not. Teach me how to discern your promptings, your words, your revelation, and when it's somebody else or myself or the enemy. That's how you do it. It's that, I'll try to get out Ronnie. I just lost Ronnie now. So he's the one, you know, this is what amazes me about him. He's the one that will give you all, you know, all the things that we want, all the gifts, the information, whatever, but he's also the one who will tell you how to get it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when he says he's the teacher and he's the Spirit of truth and he will teach you all things, that's what he means. All things is all things. He is going to teach you how to actually know him. That's the all things.
Okay.
So you don't have to figure it out, Lizzie. Isn't that wonderful?
Okay.
You don't have to figure it out at all. He's just going to, all you have to do is ask. You only have to do is ask. That's all he requires. Ask me, and I'll show you. That's it. That's all we have to do. So every time, isn't that amazing? So Ronnie, we were just saying this, which I found just amazing because he's just showing me this right now, and I was able to speak it in words that were clear. So hopefully I can do that again. Holy Spirit was saying, because he teaches us all things, he teaches us all things about himself. He teaches us even how to know when it's him and when it's not. Those are all things. So we don't have to figure out how to know him and know his voice. We don't have to work on it. We just say, Holy Spirit, I need to discern how to know when you're talking to me and when it's me and when it's the devil or when it's somebody else's teaching. I need to know that. And he goes, okay, I'll teach you. Because he teaches us all things. So he's the source of it, the teaching, and he teaches you how to know what he's teaching. Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's totally awesome. So he doesn't leave you. You know, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, we're not orphans. That's all we do. We just go to him. And in that, then we won't go to these very precarious cliffs that he's sharing with me and saying, don't go there. You know that saying that they used to have in America? It was like, don't go there. Like, you know, somebody was going to talk about something they didn't want to talk about, and they just don't go there. That's Holy Spirit. He's going, don't go there. Don't even bother with it. So if we're wanting to, you know, pipe up or spout off or say, oh, I believe this and I believe that. I mean, I've seen online, it's become an opinion fest. And I'm going to say, I'll include myself in that. You know, I'm not saying, oh, they're all bad. That's not, we want to make sure I want to be so wise with my words now. He's made it so clear to me just in this last 24 hours that these words need to be carved by God himself through the blood of Jesus. The words have to add life to people's lives. Not confusion, not fear, not doubt, not division. They must add life, because life and death is in the tongue. And whoever eats of it, whoever loves it, will eat of it. Well, we want to love the life, not the death. Because I don't want to eat death. That's not the fruit I want to bring forth with what I speak. And he's just making it really, really clear, because he's leading me into more and more and more and more and more teaching, more and more and more and more discipling, more and more and more writing. And this booklet that the Holy Spirit told me to write, and he's doing the writing, obviously. He's giving me the content. I'm secretary here, and I'm happy to be a secretary. You know, it's like, you dictate, Lord, because I know if this comes from you, there'll be no harm to anyone, only life. And people can reject it, but that's different than I've caused harm. And he shared with me that what the kind of what this booklet is supposed to be called. I was going to call it something else, and I thought it was all cute and clever. And he told me, no, I don't want that. So he told me yesterday, and I went, oh, okay, well, I better take this seriously. And what it is going to be called, and this is the kind of healing that I teach, but I didn't realize this is kind of what I did. I mean, I knew and I had spoken about it, but it's now being, Holy Spirit is declaring this. Spirit-led healing. That's it. It is all spirit-led, which means things that I may have learned from others were going to be dropped. They may have been steps along the journey, steps along the way, but I'm not on that step of the ladder anymore. I don't have to stay there. I've climbed to a whole new place through his grace. So I'm not going to be taking all that stuff that I brought up with me to those steps on the ladder. I'm just going to leave them on those steps and go, okay, well, I don't need that anymore, because Holy Spirit is going to teach me exactly. And I've asked him, how do you want me to heal? You tell me, how do you want to do healing with me? Which is a scary place to be on one level, but it's not on another, because he teaches you all things. So it's not as if he's leaving me there on this rung of the ladder, you know, further up than I was before, and going, well, you figure out how to climb. No. Step at a time, and he will show me each step, ordered. So this is a completely, it's kind of like, you know how people call new seasons? And I've never really liked that term. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because people use it as an excuse to not deal with what they hadn't dealt with before. But I believe it's true. He takes you into new places, doesn't he? I mean, it's a living relationship. So there you are. You've done, I've had this last year and a half, 2 years, whatever it's been, of all of what I've learned. And I thought I was just going to kind of do more of the same, but more advanced. But it's not true. He takes you to whole new realms that you've never been to before. And although it's scary, on the level of unknown, I mean, it's not like I'm comfortable. I am not comfortable, but thank God I've got the comforter. This is not a comfortable place to be. I'm in transition, and I'm not talking just, this isn't just about me. We will all go through transitional phases in our walk with Christ. We will all go through it. And there'll be, if we're going to walk in trust, we can walk in peace. But if we want to figure it out in human wisdom, which to me is the most insane thing I've ever heard of. How can we, with human wisdom, which is foolishness to God, figure it out? I mean, it doesn't even make sense on a logical level, let alone spiritual. I'm just looking at your question, Ronnie. When someone says to train to hear his voice, what exactly are we supposed to hear? Well, that's what I was saying, Ronnie. We ask Holy Spirit to do that training. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. He is the one who teaches all things, so he will teach you how to hear him. He will teach you. It's so fluid. It's relationship, as always. It always goes back to relationship. So he will teach you how to hear him. He will even do that. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if he's hearing me or not. Oh, you are. All I'm saying is he's the teacher, right? We all agree that he's the teacher. He's to teach us all things. He's to bring us remembrance of all that Jesus taught. He glorifies Jesus. He leads us into all truth. So if all truth, that operative word all, we really got to look at that all word, it's an amazing word, means that he will teach you the truth about how to hear him. That's also his job. And the all includes how to hear him. Because that's the truth we need. We need to know what's his voice, what's the enemy, what's our flesh, what's other people. We need to know that he's going to teach us all truth. He's going to teach us how to hear him. So the training, quote unquote, is him. He does it. I don't go there and go, okay, I'm going to sit here and wait. All right, I'm going to ask a question and see which answers I get. Let's see which one sounds most like Holy Ghost, and that's how I'm going to... No! It's not like that. It's a relationship. Just like if your dad called you, Lizzie, you know your dad's voice, don't you?
Yes.
You know his voice over some other dad's voice, most likely. I mean, sometimes we can confuse them. I mean, I'll sometimes hear my son, and I think it's him, and it's another child, so I'm not saying that never happens. But for the most part, we're pretty clear about our relatives' voices. You know auntie, whatever. You know mom's voice. You know your sister's voice. As soon as you pick up the phone, oh, it's you know, mom. She doesn't have to say, hi, honey, it's mom. You're like, oh, hi, mom. Right? It's the same with Holy Ghost. We're going to get to that level. When we hear him, it's going to be, oh, hi, Holy Spirit. What did you say? It's going to be like that. That's how it's meant to be. But that's by communing with him. That's by taking time to be with him, asking him questions, sitting with him, not training in this like, okay, this rigorous training. I'm in the army now and I've got to work on figuring out Holy Ghost voice. No, forget it. That's not even his voice telling you to do that. Sit with him. Read the scriptures. Ask him to illuminate. You know, that scripture that comes up all the time. Yes, it's always ask. Exactly. You just wait and receive that. Receive that teaching. You're going to walk with him. I'm not like saying you're not active. You're walking with him through your day. Okay? So for instance, let's do it like this. This is a good way to do it. Say you're out in the supermarket and, you know, you've said to God before you left the house, you said, Holy Spirit, lead me to those who will receive you and lead them to me. And then you got to go buy some bread and milk. Okay? So you're in the supermarket buying, you know, ready, looking for your milk, and you just turn towards somebody and they suddenly look so familiar and you're like, I know them. And you go up to them and you say, you look really familiar. Do I know you from somewhere? And they'll either go, yeah, you look familiar too. Or they'll go, no, I don't think so. I don't know you. And you start a little conversation and then you find out they just had a hip replacement and it hasn't been working out very well for them. They're limping a bit. And then you tell them, oh, really? Well, you know, I've seen God heal all kinds of things. Could I pray for you so that you know, that pain can go? And they're either going to say yes or no. And say they say yes. And you pray. And they get healed. They either get a little bit better or they get completely healed. Whatever the situation is. And in that moment. That was hearing his voice. Okay? He made that person look like you knew them. And you actually didn't know them at all. But that link caused you to make conversation with them, which led to their healing, which may lead to either salvation down the road, or they may be saved, or it may lead to it right there. We don't know. It depends on how much time you have with the person and what Holy Spirit prompts you to say and do. That's hearing him. That's his voice. His voice isn't always, you know, once in a while I hear him. I've only heard God once audibly. The other times I hear him usually in my heart or my mind, or it's a sense, or it's an impression. Or it's just you know. You just know. And he just told you something. This morning, I started to cry because it was Holy Spirit saying to me, tell them about the dangerous rocks. And I was like, okay, I have to make sure that the people that I speak to, I'm not saying the entire world, but the ones that I speak to know that there are dangerous rocks, walks, rocks, R-O-C-K-S, in our walk, and we don't want to fall off the cliff, and we can't minimize or cutesify, which is not a word, but it works here, the Holy Spirit, and reduce them to cotton candy and yumminess. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that when people say that, they don't mean it in a sincere way, but when people talk like that, that can really turn others off. We've got to be careful about how we, you know, we might have a revelation. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she said, that's something you put in your journal. Not something that you necessarily declare to all of, you know, online body of Christ. And I'm not saying it's wrong in the sense of, you know, you're not allowed to do that and it's a legalistic thing. It's just the Holy Spirit is telling me, basically, these are the words he's giving me. Watch it. Watch it. And they are not, they are firm words. They are chastening words. And when that person, you know, the other week asked me about the discipline of God, and, you know, it's still all grace. It's because of his grace that he disciplines me. It's because he loves me and I'm a son that he chastens me. Otherwise, I'm illegitimate. And we know what that other word for that is. It's a nasty word. I don't want to be that. So if he chastens me and says, Jesse, you watch it. You watch your mouth. You do not make me into some kind of cute little party trick. Or a cute little ornament. I am the living God living in you. Now, if that's not amazing enough to get you on your knees, I don't think anything will. So, when I give you something to share with the body, you take it to me first and make sure it is from me. And make sure I have told you how to say it. For me, now I'm not saying all of you have to do that, because you're not necessarily in that position, but you may very well be at some point, and it may be soon, so that we are wise with what we speak and that we watch it. It's not just watching it for ourselves, because there's been a lot of teaching about watch your words for you. You know, don't declare this and don't say that, la, la, la. And I'm not saying that isn't valuable. It's very valuable. We don't want to agree with the devil. The power of the universe is in our tongue. So we need to be careful with what we say, life and death, whether it's to our family, to ourselves, to our neighbors. But in a position, I guess I'm really speaking in a position of ministry here. In a position of ministry, you are so much more responsible because you are affecting so many more people. And because there's this new idea that everyone's a minister, and we are, in the sense that we're all ministers of reconciliation. It doesn't matter if you touch one person or 5,000. We're ministers of reconciliation. We have the gospel to share with all the world. Whether it's next door or it's in India, it's still the gospel, and it still will transform lives. However, some people are going to be put in a position, and this is not putting anyone above anyone else, never. But they're going to be put in a position where they're going to affect more people. So those people have to be a lot more careful. Because it says, not many of you be teachers. And it's the only one of the fivefold ministry that has a warning. Prophecy doesn't even have a warning, which amazes me, because I've seen so many people who've said they're prophets and have destroyed people's lives, and it wasn't a prophecy at all. It was their own opinion. So I'm like, Lord, why didn't you put a warning on that one? Because prophecy is supposed to come right from the mouth of God. Teaching includes your own thinking. So it can get very mixed. Whereas if you're truly operating as a prophet in the body, it should not be your own opinion mixing in there. You should just be going pure Holy Spirit pouring out. So that's why I'm assuming that's why it has a warning. I don't know. I'm sure Holy Spirit can reveal me the other reason. But I know it has to do with words in your mouth, but prophecy has that too. So it doesn't mean people shouldn't be careful when they're prophets. My goodness, you know, please. It's just, this is something he's sharing with me, because right now we have an online community of believers, don't we? And a lot of people are believing what other believers are saying just because they said it, and it sounds good, and they might have a scripture or two to back it in that interpretation. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, you can still hear me? Okay.